Today we're going to be learning Shulchan Aruch Siman Pei Vav, Sif Gimel and Dalad, and the topic is going to be Ova. I'll explain a little bit later what Ova are. Shulchan Aruch says like this: Beitzes Nevela Trefa, the egg of a Nevela of a Trefa, meaning the chicken was a Nevela of a Trefa. Afila Nigmara Shekiyetzu and Nikrinas Bashuk. This is an egg that came from a bird that was a Nevela of a Trefa. Even if the egg is so complete that it's Nikrinas Bashuk, meaning it has a full, complete hard shell on the outside. The egg, I should have explained, was found inside the chicken. Asura, that egg is asur. Afilim is arv be'elef, kulim asuras. And even if the egg is mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, the egg is asur. Again, we're going to explain all these details later on. Let's first read the dinim. Avasavkim he beitzes nevel, im he beitzes shchuta. What happens if it was a possibility of it being a beitzes nevela, but you don't know if it is or is not a beitzes nevela, then the din is muteris, afilu b'lo taruvus, then it's mutter, even, of course, in the case where it was mixed in, but even if it was not mixed in with anything else, it's mutter also. Avasavgim he beitzes trefa, a beitzes shchuta, then asura. But if the shayla was on a trefa, then it would be a suffix and it would be asur. We'll see later on that has to do with, the isra on a suffix trefa is a trefa. Beitzes trefa is more serious than that of a beitzes nevel. The Rambam says in Nishchata ha-tarnagoles v'nitzes trefa. What happens if you shecht a chicken and you find out afterward, and now you find out it's a trefa? Then what din beitzim? What's the din of the bein that laid yesterday or the day before? G'din chalos shenechal v'mi behema, like the din of a milk that came from an animal that you shechted and found that it was a trefa. So the Ayin Lesson Pe'al, where it talks about that, what the din is for those things. Okay, halacha dalet, hika tarnagoles hazanava, v'pil beitzasa. What happens if you hit a chicken on its tail and it caused the egg to come out prematurely? It popped out of the body. Koidim shenikmar, before it was complete, then muteris, that egg is muter. Ein tamish from evim rachai. There's no iser of evim rachai, which really means it's basar melachai. There's no iser of basar melachai over here. V'hu she'enu mu'ur begidin. It assumes that it's not mu'ur begidin. What that means. In order to understand these two halachas, it'll actually be easier for us to first look at the second halacha and then come back to the first halacha. In the second halacha, it said that if a person causes an egg to pop out of the chicken before the right time, then the chicken is mutter, the egg is mutter, assuming it's not mu'ur begidin. Okay? We don't need to know exactly what mu'ur begidin means right now. We'll get to that a little bit later. For now, the point is just it's a certain stage of development. So as long as it's past that stage, then the egg is mutter. That tells us that an egg, we saw back in Siman Pei Aleph, that eggs are mutter, are not considered evim menachai or basar menachai. That heter doesn't only apply when the egg comes out of the chicken, but even when the egg is inside of the chicken, the egg can also is also excused or away from the iser of evim menachai, assuming that the egg is reached some sort of form of development. Okay? They're not considered part of the chicken, even though they're inside still, they're not considered, and they're not Evim Nechai and such things. Okay. Now, once we know that from the second halacha, that's why it's mutter, then we can look back to the first halacha and try to understand what's going on over there. The first halacha said that a chicken that was 100% formed is kiyotzim and nimkeres b'shuk, it was complete, it had a hard shell on it, that egg, if it's from a nevela, that egg is asur. Now, why would that egg be also if it's from a nevela? Let's think for a second. An egg from a nevela means is that the egg was found inside the chicken after the chicken died. Nevela means it died without shechita. So an egg that's inside, it can't be that the egg died after it laid the chicken, because then obviously we wouldn't care about the egg after it laid the chicken. So it must be that the chicken died and the egg was still inside. And also, if the shell is on top of it, that means, excuse me, that shell was put on before the chicken died. The egg wouldn't keep on forming afterwards. So what we have here is an egg that was fully formed to the point that it even had a shell on top of it while the chicken was alive, and now the chicken became a nevela. So why would that egg be asur? That we just said from the second halacha, halacha dalet, we just said that an egg reaches a certain point of development is mutter. There's no iser of evim nechai. So why should there be an iser of nevela? Who cares if the chicken became a nevela? Why should that make a difference? The egg inside the beitzes nevela should be mutter. In fact, that's the din midaraisa. That is the truth. Midaraisa, if you find a fully formed egg inside of a chicken and the chicken had died, the egg is completely mutter. But it's asur midrabbanan. The reason why it's asur midrabbanan is because it beitzes trefa.
An egg that came from a bird that was a trefa, meaning the animal was sick to the point that it was a trefa. That egg that was laid, that egg could have laid an egg, that egg, or the egg could be inside of it, the egg could, that would be really usher. In that case, since that egg is usher, it's too easy to confuse a beitzas nevela with a beitzas trefa. So Chazal asher beitzas nevela because it might be confused with a beitzas trefa. Okay, so what would come out is that in basically in every case, a beitzas trefa, the bay of an egg that was a trefa, is asher midraisa. Beitzas nevela is asher midrabanan. There are cases, you look at the shark in Taki Tshuva, in the Shach, there are cases, the Prima Gadol, there are cases where it's possible for the opposite, for Beitzas Trefa to be asur midrabanan, and the Beitzas Nevela to be asur midraisa, but by and large, that's the rule. And because of this rule, since Beitzas Nevela is asur midrabanan, and Beitzas Trefa is asur midraisa, that's why it said at the end of Halacha, in Halacha Gimel, it said, if you have a suffix, whether an egg is a Beitzas Nevela or not, the bay is, it's mutter. And the reason why it's mutter is because the Safa Drabanan, since Beitzas Nevela is not Asum Drabanan, so Safa Drabanan Lakula and the egg is Mutter. What happens if you have Beitzas Trefa? The other Shulchan Aruch said that the Safik of the Beitzas Trefa, the egg is Asur because it's a Safik Deraisa, a Safik Deraisa Lachoma. Now, we now, to understand what means Mur Begidin, we saw that if it's Mur Begidin, then the egg is Asur. It's considered part of the chicken and dust of the Deraisa. So the Rashi says that the word mu'ura means mechuberes, attached. Okay, so understand exactly what that means, we need to get into some of the scientific understanding of how chicken eggs develop. And with that, we'll be able to understand what this term mu'ura begidin means.
When a chicken develops, when an egg in a chicken develops, the eggs first are growing in what they call the chicken's ovaries, or we would call in halacha, we'd call this the eshkol. And that is, once a chicken is 4 to 6 months old, in its ovaries, it has who knows how many eggs are there in there, and hundreds probably of eggs, and they slowly start to develop. It takes about 10 days for an egg to develop fully. And as you can see in the picture here, there are eggs at many stages of development. They're all in all different levels of growth that they are. Once the egg is complete and the egg is all ready to come out of the ovaries, then a stage of ovulation. The following is a video of an egg going through ovulation, and you'll see there's a pencil that indicates where something called the stigma is, where the egg is coming out. And you see over there, right there, sort of in the center of the picture, the actual yolk of the egg is breaking out of the rest of the ovaries. That outer shell that we saw in the previous picture was really just, so to speak, like a holder for the actual egg. And the egg is now popping out. And as you noticed, there was a spot. I should have pointed that out before at the beginning of the video. Here's the egg about to come out. Let's go back to the beginning of the video. Okay, I can't go back, but this is an important thing to see. Okay, in the beginning of the video, it showed that in the middle of the egg, of the sac around the egg that was about to come out, around that case, there was a one line through which there was no blood vessels. And that's called the stigma. And it's through that section that the egg pops out. The egg comes out of the ovaries through that part called the stigma. And in fact, the reason why there are sometimes blood spots in eggs, meaning unfertilized eggs, is because there was a blood vessel crossing the stigma, and therefore when the yolk broke through, it broke that blood vessel, and some blood gets stuck into the egg at that time. Okay. The next stage that it goes through is the egg moves into a section called the infundibulum. Okay, it only stays there for about 15 minutes. That infundibulum, as you see here in the picture, is at the very beginning, right near the ovaries, right near the eshkol. It's called the eshkol because it looks like a cluster of grapes. When it moves, the infundibulum, it's there. That's the beginning of the what's called the oviduct. That's this long, the whole passageway that you see here. That's the one place where the egg can become fertilized, if it will be. That's during that one little spot over there. Okay, from there, the egg moves on to the next section of the oviduct, which is called the magnum. It spends about 3 hours over there, and that's the part of the that's the That's the part of the oviduct where the albumen, the white part of the egg, is put onto it. As it's being put on, it actually rotates, and that helps in the formation of the chalaza, these sort of like squiggly lines that those anchor the yolk into the middle of the albumen, of the white part of the egg. From there, so now that's the, it spends about, as I said, about 3 hours in the magnum. Then it moves to the next section, which is called the isthmus, where it spends a little more than an hour, about an hour and a quarter. So now the yolk and the albumen pass over to there, and that's where the soft shells, like a membrane, forms around the outside of the yolk, out of the outside of the albumen. And then it moves into the longer section that it spends in is called the shell gland. It spends about 20 hours in that shell gland, and there that the hard shell that comes around the egg is formed. It spends about 20 hours in that section. And then from there, the egg will come out the end of the chicken, the back of the chicken, which is a little above, in this picture, it's above the shell gland. It's called the cloacia. Then what happens is the egg turns around right before it pops out, and it comes out facing down, the white part facing down. What happens is also is that as the egg comes out, the egg is at the body temperature of the chicken, or maybe warmer, it's about 107 degrees, which is hotter than the outside temperature. So as the egg cools, there's a space forms between the inner and the outer membranes, and that leaves the ear space at the very end of the white end of the egg, which is going to be useful way down the road for the chick that's inside the egg to breathe from.
Now that we've seen what it means, how the chicken egg develops, we understand that when the yolk is still inside of the ovaries, then at that point, that surely qualifies as more begitin. They're surrounded by this. There aren't actually any veins right in the yolk itself, but they're surrounded by this sac. They're very mechuberes. Like Rashi said, mu'ura means mechuberes. They're attached, and they're part of the chicken's body. So at that point, everyone will agree that it's mu'ura begitin. But it turns out that there are four shittas in Rishonim as to what it means that an egg should be complete. We sort of have an understanding what at least one example of mu'ura begitin when it's still in the ovary, but exactly what it means to be beitz gemura, there are four shittas in Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Zayin brings the day of the Rashba, which is how we paskins, which says that a bay is not considered gemura until it has a chel moin and a chel boin, until it has the yolk and the albumen, the white part of the egg, formed. That's what considered a full egg, and that's what's full. So the Yehuda talks about these different shittas, and he's very perplexed. He uses very strong language to talk about this shita of the Rashba. He quotes from a Gemara. He uses a term from a Gemara. He says he's a person who's ainu baku b'tarim gaylan. He says it's not physically possible for there to be a yolk and an albumen, and it could still be mu'ura begitin, as we saw in the video and we saw in the description beforehand, which the Yehuda basically repeats what our scientific explanation is. The Yehuda says, I looked at thousands of eggs of chickens and I know exactly how they form. And what he describes is very much like the scientific description that I talked about beforehand. And he says, that kind of a, there is no way that a bird could have a yolk and an albumen and still be mu'ura begitin, which is understood to be back in the eshkol, back in the ovaries. He says it just physically is impossible. So some say that maybe it could happen once in a while. The Yehuda says there's no such thing as impossible, and he says he doesn't know what to say. Most of the other shittos of Rishonim he's able to understand, but that one, which is actually what the Shulchan Aruch brings, he's completely stuck with. He doesn't know what to say. But put that on the side, everyone will agree that when the yolk is inside the ovaries, that's considered mu'ura begitin. And almost all the shittas will say that that's also midaraisa. There is a sheet of Rashi that the Shach says, Yisemachan b'dievet, who says that it's possible if the yolk is 100% fully formed, even if it's still in the ovaries, it would not be also midaraisa. But everybody else doesn't agree with that. And anyhow, that's only a very, very specific case where it's completely formed, but it just hasn't been released yet. Okay? So now that we have this information, we're going to talk about a shaila that came up many decades ago, maybe 40 years ago, which was like this. When the yolk is in the when the yolk is still in the ovaries, those ovaries, one of them would be called an ovum, and but the whole group of them is called ova. That's the plural of them. And the what happened was, it seems that people would, when they would come to slaughter chickens that were already maturing eggs, which is not our chickens. Our chickens, our broilers, the ones that we eat, they're so young that they don't have any eggs. They would never have any mature eggs, any developing eggs inside their bodies. But in a chickens that are older, like an egg-laying chicken that now comes to be slaughtered, there's that cluster, that the ovaries, the eshkol, has lots of ova in it. And what they would do is they would cut that off and blend that in with liquid eggs that people that they were selling to the public. My understanding is that they did that in order because it added more fat content and somehow make the eggs richer. And they would do that to help improve their eggs. Before I go on to tell you what the issue was, you should know that right now the law is, the CFR says, that you're allowed to use ova. Ova can be used, can be sold to the public, assuming they meet all safety requirements and they're taken care of healthy and safely, etc. But there are two things that the CFR says is, one is, it says that it needs to be labeled. It needs to meet the labeling requirements of FSIS. The USDA has to meet the labeling requirements. And second is that it says that it needs to meet those labeling requirements. Well, the USDA itself, FSIS, says they have two things that must be on a label. There are two rules for what has to be on a label. First of all, it must be declared. So you can't put in ova into your eggs without saying that these are ova. You can't sell a container of liquid eggs without telling you that it's ova in it also. And second is, surprisingly, it says it can't be labeled as kosher. Okay, I don't know who put that in or how constitutional that is, but they said it cannot be labeled as kosher if it has it in there. So that's reasonably consistent with what we're saying, which is ova that come from a novella are not kosher, and we would definitely not want someone to put them into liquid eggs. It technically, in Pesayin, it says that ova, if they come from a shechted chicken, are actually kosher. We'll talk about that in a minute. But from our perspective, we don't want people putting ova in. So that ruling of the USDA that they will not let someone put ova into something that's labeled as kosher is consistent with what we want. That's good. We're happy with that rule. Okay, but what happened these many decades ago was people were actually doing that. They were mixing it into liquid eggs. So the shaila was, is it mutter? What's the din b'dieved of that? Of course, you're not allowed to do that. The question is b'dieved. What would be the din of those eggs that weigh with that? So the first thing we'd look at is we'd open up the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have beitzes nevela, that's what these are. You have beitzes nevela. Beitzes nevela, because even if it was a few, even if it's a fully formed one, if it's nisarva be'elef, it's kula nasuris. No matter how little of that egg gets mixed in, the whole batch is asur. So what we would say is, if Beitzes Nevela has that din, which is to say a fully formed egg, that midaraisa, it's really mutter. If it gets mixed into other eggs, then it asks all of them. So we'd say kosher can ours, these ova, which are part of the ovaries, part of the eshkol, they're asa midaraisa. Those are mu'ur begidin, those are asa midaraisa. That's a piece of Nevela, or even from Nevela. So if so, kosher can that they should not be batal. So we would say if somebody mixes an ova into the rest of the liquid eggs, then of course it should not be batal no matter how little there was. Okay, but the truth is, if we think about it, we're going to realize that was a mistake, and that's because the Shulchan Aruch said that afil mezarav elef is not batal, and the Pesukim are not so they're like confused. Why is it not batal? What would be the reason why afil elef it's not batal? So they say two main reasons, and the two main reasons, but neither of which are very strong or that they're confident about, is that either because it's a barrier, or because it's davar shebeminyan. Okay, each one of those has a question on it. Barriers has a question on it because we paskin that something is not considered a barrier unless it has bris neshama. It has to be alive or come from something that was alive, and an egg does not. Egg only considered to have life if we look at it from the perspective of the chicken, in which case it's not a barrier, it's not whole. If we look at the barrier from itself, the egg by itself, it has no bris neshama. So it's hard to see the place we ask. Everybody asks that. How can we consider that to be a barrier? From the question point of davar shebeminyan, the Shulchan Aruch himself passes that davar shebeminyan is only seven very specific things. So the Shulchan Aruch, it's hard to hear how the Shulchan Aruch could call that a could consider this a davar shel minyan. The Rambam over there says no. Even other things are davar shel minyan also. But the question on the mechaber, how can the mechaber have said that it's not bottle because davar shel minyan when this is not a davar? The mechaber, he would not hold this as davar shel minyan. So the Aruch Hashulchan wants to say maybe it's a tziruv since there are cheetahs to be machmir about each of those shalas. We could be together, give or take, whatever it is. It has something to do with Beri and Devash Minyan. Okay, so that's all true. Those possibilities of Beri and Devash Minyan only apply when we have an egg that's Kiyotze by Nim Keres Bashut. The case of the Shulchan Aruch, it was a fully formed egg with a hard shell on the outside of it. So that kind of an egg is an egg that could be potentially could be a barrier because it's whole, it's complete, or it could be a Devash Minyan because people sell eggs by the dozen, you know, they sell it by the number, so you could potentially call that a Devash Minyan. But if we have an ova, a cluster from you know from the ovaries, there's no way that could be considered to be a barrier or a davar shel minyan. It's not anything. It's not a complete something, and it's not something that gets sold by the number. You don't buy them by number. You buy by weight. I don't know how you buy ova. So the even though by drabanan, by Beitzes Nevela, which is a drabanan, we see a few elf le bottle. Here where it's a sort of a Beitzes Nevela, which is also mit deraisa because it was Ur Begidin. Here we would say that it can be bottled. It'll follow the regular rules of Bitta B'Shishan. Okay, that's our main reason why it would be bottled. Of course, you shouldn't be doing it, but if it was done, then would you be Bitta B'Shishan. Okay, just as an aside to that is, another thing is that, you know, these were used in liquid eggs. Nobody mixed them in just into something else. They mixed them into liquid eggs. So there, once it was broken up, again, it couldn't be a barrier, because the rule is even for barriers, if they get broken up, they're not whole. Or davar shel minyan, if they're not whole, then they're bottled afterwards. That's one thing. Another side point is, if we want to say that it should be usher, I feel the elf, it'll never be bottled. The rule is that thing that this has to do with its din in tzadiches. The din there is that when we have something that's not bottled b'shishin that has a higher requirement like bottle 100 or not bottle no matter what, the rules of min b'mina, min b'she'ini mina, don't depend on tam. The rules of min b'mina depend on if they have this, if they're called the same thing. The Rama says this and the Shach explains that it means it's in cases where we're having a bittul that's not b'shishim, then it depends whether they're called the same thing. So in our case, the ova and liquid eggs might taste the same, but they're not called the same thing. This is ova and this is eggs. So then, in which case, they would not be considered min b'minoi. And davar shel minyan is only not bottle when it's min b'minoi. This, for if we want to call this a davar shel minyan, this would be considered min b'she'ein b'minoi. Okay? And the opposite of that is also... the opposite of that is that assuming that this is bottle, the rules would be that this is bottle b'shishim, it's worth pointing out that I had said that the ova are asma deraisa, which is true. The ova and the ovaries are asma deraisa. But when we mix the ova into the regular liquid eggs, now it's only a shayla of a drabanan. And the reason is because once we've established that it's going to be bottle b'shishim, once we're following the rules of bitta b'shishim, then the din is midaraisa, min b'mina is bottle b'roiv. So over here we have, for this rule of min b'mina, when we're trying to see if they have this, if the bottle b'shishim, we'd follow the taste of it. So the ova and the liquid eggs have the same taste. Egg yolks and ova yolks are the same thing. So they would be considered min b'mina. Min b'mina midaraisa is bottle b'roiv. So the only shayla is that midarabana and min b'mina need shishim also. So if we had ova mixed into liquid eggs, so not once we've decided that it needs only bitta b'shishim, we should realize that now we only have a shayla with drabanan, because midaraisa they would be bata b'roiv. So if we have a question of how much fell in, was it enough to be bata b'shishim or not, we have a classic case of what says in Sadiches, midaraisa min b'mina is bata b'roiv. The only shayla is a shayla with drabanan, maybe it's b'shishim, then we could be makel and say that it's misafik, we would say is that mistama the was shishim and it would be mata. Okay, now back to what we wanted to talk about. One more case to talk about is a shayla that came up, a year or so ago. Rabbi Yechiel Teichman from the COR asked us a question. He noticed that on one of our certificates it said that a certain kind of fish roe means the eggs that come out of a fish, fish, with backup for a second, fish, when they produce eggs, they produce hundreds of eggs at the same time, in also in like kind of a cluster. And when the fish are killed, they take those eggs out of them, and that's called fish roe. So he asked us on our, he saw on the certificate, one of the certificates we gave out said labeled fish roe as parv, and one labeled them as fish. So he wanted to understand why we were like sort of a contradiction. One said fish and one said parv. We told him it was a mistake. They should have both said fish on them. It was just a mistake on our part. But he says, I thought that maybe when you wrote parv, you really held that it is parv. So we said, why would it be parv? It's fish. But just to say fish, when we say something is fish, that means you can't eat it with meat. So why would he think that? So he pointed us to Halachas Ketanas, an Achron who was born 400 years ago, almost to the day, to today. Anyhow, the Halachas Ketanas says that in his place, people would eat fish roe with meat. And he says, the reason why for that is because either they consider the roe not to be fish at all, or even if it's considered fish, which we would have guessed that it is, then they're considered to be Bein Gemuras, and Bein Gemuras are not part of the fish. So they're not eating fish with meat. They're eating eggs with meat. You're not eating eggs with meat. This is not fish with meat. So Rabbi Tachman was saying, maybe that's what we thought. That's why we called it parv. Well, of course, that was a mistake. We didn't. We meant to call it fish. But that was, brought us to our attention. So, and when we first think, when I first see that, Halachas Ketanas, who says that they're considered Gemuras, I'm sorry, that they're Bein Gemuras, and therefore they're not considered meat, seems to be not like our din. Our din and Halachot Dalet, we said, was that if the egg was m'ur begidin, and it was a chicken egg was m'ur begidin, then you're not allowed to eat it. It's considered Eiver Menachai, Basar Menachai, if you do that. So in this case over here with the roe, the eggs are m'ur begidin. That's what they are. Their eggs are, they're taken out, the animal, the eggs don't get laid. You don't catch them in the sea floating around. You kill the fish, and when you kill the fish, you open it up and take it out from its ovaries. So why is he saying that it's considered the Ben Gemuras? These are Ben Gemuras which are Mu'ur Begidin, which we saw in Halacha Da'al, that those are Ben Gemuras which are Mu'ur Begidin, are Marasa, or considered part of the fish. Okay, so it turns out that that's not what he's talking about. The Halacha Ketanas is not pointing at Arden, he's pointing at Halacha in the Siman Pei Zayin, Halacha Hey. Where there it says is that if you have a complete chicken egg, and you can eat that egg together with milk, even if it was m'ur begidin, even though the egg was m'ur begidin, you're allowed to eat it with, it's not considered fleshings, and you're allowed to eat it with milk. So he's saying, just like over there in Siman Pei Zayin, it says that Ben Gemuras, even if they're m'ur begidin, are allowed to be eaten with milk, so too his fish roe that's m'ur begidin is also allowed to be eaten with, in his case, with meat, because fish and meat, it's not a problem. Okay, well, that I haven't really solved the problem. It's true, that's what he's pointing at, the Siman Pei Zayin, but has that solved the problem? So there's a steer now. Is Ma'ur Begidin, is it considered part of the animal? It's not considered. In Pei Zayin, it said that it's Ma'ur Begidin, it's not considered to be chicken, and you can eat it with milk. And in Pei Vav, that's our halacha, it said if it's Ma'ur Begidin, it is considered part of the animal, it's considered Eiver Menachai. So which one is it? Is Pei Zayin correct or Pei Vav correct? So this question is not a question that we thought of on our own. This question, Tosfos talks about this kasha. Okay, and the Achronim will bring this. It's a Tosfos, and this is kasha. And Tosfos gives two tirutzim. Excuse me. Tosfos gives two tirutzim, and the Shach gives a third teretz of his own. The first teretz of Tosfos from the Bahag says that it depends if it's a shayla of a deraisa or derabbanan. In the Siman Pei Zayin, it's talking about eating chicken egg with milk. Chicken with milk can never be an issur d'oraisa. At most, it's an issur d'rabbanan. So since it's only issur d'rabbanan, so he says, they were mekel and we consider it to not be meat. In our din, where the shayla is, it was not an animal that had shechita. So it's the shayla of Eiver Menachai, that's the shayla of a d'oraisa, so here we're machmer. Okay? If that's what it depends on, according to the Bahag, that it depends on if it's issur d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, then fish roe would not be allowed to eat with meat. And that's because the Ramah tells us, and we know, Chamir Sakanta Misura, so we would treat a Suffolk Sakana as if it's the Suffolk Deraisa. So therefore, we would say that you cannot eat the fish roe with meat. That's the Bahag's Teretz. Tosfos brings us from Rabbeinu Tam. He says that the only time we're machmir to treat it as if it's part of the chicken is when it's something that would be inherently usur. Like, for example, in our case, in Adam Simon Pevov, where it would be inherently usur, because Eiver Menachai is an Isser by itself, then we treat it to be as if it's part of the chicken. But in Siman Pei Zayin, which is a Shaila Basa B'Cholov, Basar is mutter, the animal was shechted. So the only shaila we have there is that maybe when you mix it with something else it'll become asr, then we don't have to consider it to be part of the chicken, and therefore we can be mekel. Well, if that was what it depended on, then you would be allowed to eat the roe with meat, because roe from a fish is mutter. Roe from a kosher fish is mutter. It's only a shayla if you mix it with something else. Well, if it's only a shayla when you mix it with something else, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that then we don't have to be considered part of the fish or the bird that it came from. Okay, that's second case. Okay, all of these people are only talking about the bird shayla. We're connecting it and saying, how does that connect to the shayla of the fish roe also? Okay, but the Shach says, third teretz, the Shach says, I don't understand the kasha. He says like this. We know, we saw way back when, that really eggs should be usher, because eggs should be Eifer Menachai. A chicken lays an egg, it should be Eifer Menachai. It's a living animal. Something came out of it, it should be Eifer Menachai. It's especially Xeris HaKosov, that it's not a problem of Eifer Menachai or Basar Menachai. It's mother. So he says, that heter only starts when the egg is not Mu'ur Begidin. While it's Mu'ur Begidin, it's considered to be, it still follows the rules of Eifer Menachai, those kind of things. He says, but as soon as the egg is complete, then it's not considered part of the chicken. It's not considered part of the chicken, in the dinner with basa b'cholov. That's a different set of rules. And there, as soon as it's complete, it's not part of the chicken anymore, and therefore it's not issa basa b'cholov. Okay, well, Indian evron achai, it could still be evron achai. Usually means when it's actually separated from the animal. It's complete. It could be separated. So it is Eifer Menachai until it's not Mu'ur Begidin, then it passes to the point that it's not, the heter of the Torah applies also. But as far as being Basar, it's not considered Basar. As soon as it's Nigmar, it's not considered Basar. According to this, you could eat the fish roe with the meat, even if they're Mu'ur Begidin, because they're not considered fish. Just like if the Gemurahs are not Mu'ur Begidin, they're not considered chicken, and you'd be allowed to eat them. Okay, so at this point, it would turn out that of the three answers that we have to this sort of the stira between these two dinim, is according to two of them, you'd be allowed to eat the fish roe with meat, and according to one of them, you would not be allowed to. Okay, but the truth is, it could be that this whole way I'm explaining it is, with depending on these three answers, that whole thing is in itself is a mistake. And that's because we've been talking about whether an egg, which is Mu'ur Begidin, is mutter and asr depending on different kinds of things, but all of that presupposes that the chicken, that the egg is a beta that's completed. Okay, that's a beta that's completed. Well, and we know, as I mentioned before, there are four sheets in Rishon on what it takes to make a chicken egg to be considered a completed chicken egg. There are four different sheets, and we paskin that has to have a yellow and a white, that, like the Rashba says, a yellow and a white, that makes it a Bei Gemurah. It doesn't have to have an outer shell. Fine. That's good for a chicken egg. What makes it to be a Bei Gemurah for a fish egg? Okay. We don't have any direction for that. There has to be yellow and a white. Fish eggs don't form the same way that chicken eggs do. So what's the point that it's going to be considered a Bei Gemurah? How do we know? Forget about whether Mu'ur Begidin is a second condition. It has to be not Mu'ur Begidin. But we can't get any place unless it's a Bay in Gemurah. If it's a Bay that's not Gemurah, it's not. It's Vishur Asim Midaraisa. So what is the rule? What's the criterion to make something be considered a Bay in Gemurah? How do we know whether these fish roe are Bay in Gemurah or not Bay in Gemurah? That we should start applying the rules of whether it's allowed to eat it with meat or not. For that matter, when you harvest fish roe, are all the roe at the same stage of development, or are some of them pretty developed and some of them are less developed? Maybe when you kill the fish on Tuesday, maybe some of them weren't going to be developed until Wednesday. So how could you eat this whole clump of roe with meat? Maybe some of them are gemurahs and some of them are not gemurahs. I mean, the whole thing is very ambiguous. How do we know? We have many opinions. We have lots of information about what it takes to make a chicken egg to be gemurahs that should not be part of the chicken. But Chayra was sort of hanging here, because how do we know that these eggs in the fish roe are considered Bein Gemurahs that we should even start to talk about, that maybe she mutter. So it sort of leaves us hanging as to whether what this halachas gemara says should be correct, and how you should apply it. Like, what would be the way to know that these are Bein Gemurahs? So this needs some more thought.